Today on The Grave Talks, the ghosts of the Samuel Miller Mansion, a conversation with Amy Rodebach. Built in 1804 by Samuel Miller for his family, this mansion has seen its fair share of transformations. From a feed mill to a toy factory and now housing a print shop. But today within its walls lies a deeper tale of ghostly encounters and unexplained phenomena. Despite its rich history, much of the mansion's past remains largely undocumented, leaving behind a trail of unanswered questions. But it seems the spirits who inhabit the mansion want their stories told. When Amy Rodebach and her husband first looked at the building, she knew immediately they had to buy it. As a psychic, she has developed a strong connection to the mansion and the spirits that reside within its walls. Today on The Grave Talks, the ghosts of the Samuel Miller Mansion, a conversation with Amy Rodebach. I found it interesting because normally when I dive into these podcasts, I love history. And so it's real fascinating for me to find out the history of the location. The history of the Samuel Miller Mansion is pretty not out there, Amy. Like, I could find very little on it. Yeah, so I'm going to lean on you about the history here. What do you know about when it was built, who built it? I'm assuming Samuel Miller was involved.
Yes.
So what do you know about it?
So what I know that's been documented was it was built in 1804 for Sam Miller and his wife and five children. He was a prominent businessman in Columbia, and he had his home there, or was part owner then of a bridge company, which came after there, and the bridge was burned down. It was wooden. It was burned down twice, once for people complaining about having to pay a toll to go across. And I think it's when the war was happening, they burned it down to stop the South from coming up this way. That was the main entrance from Gettysburg area, places like that. After that, it became a feed mill, Brenneman's Feed Company, Brenneman. I can't recall the dates of that either. Probably 1815, I would say. It was a feed mill until the car became widely used. So what they did here, if you have seen the front of the building, there are archways out front, and they used to bring their horse and carriages through that archway and pick up their feed, the people, and go on out through the other side, which is also an archway back there. In the 1920s, the feed mill shut down. It became a toy factory called the Baker Toy Manufacturing Company. Okay, they added on to the house then. We have a beautiful spiral staircase, and they had to remove a bunch of that to put in two bathrooms.
So did they build that spiral staircase back? Because I did see that in some of the videos, and it is amazing.
That's probably the third floor.
Okay.
Part of the, but they tore it down from the second floor to the first floor foyer. That's still torn down. We don't have a staircase there anymore.
Because what you see, like what I've seen in some of the videos, was it's impressive. So the fact that that would have at one point gone all the way down and all the way up, that was impressive.
Yeah, I would love to have that back, but that's not in our immediate future.
No, that would cost a lot.
So the toy factory was used, they said late 70s, but I recently found a receipt dating early 80s. So after the toy factory, it sat dormant for a while. And then a printing company called S&G Printing took over there. And they, I believe, were only upstairs in the mansion part, like one time. It sat dormant again for many, many years. My husband, Chris, and I have a printing company called the Art Printing Company. And we started in Lancaster. Well, we didn't start it. It just had its 100th anniversary 2 years ago now. 1922 was the anniversary of the Art Printing Company. We moved our whole print shop from Lancaster, PA to Columbia, PA, to this building. And because it was available for sale and it was already a printing company. So we got the tour of the place and I walked up the staircase to the mansion and I felt the energy up there. And I said to him, we have to buy this place. And like 2 days later, we signed the papers and it was ours. So we moved our entire printing company over to the building here. We've owned it now since 2017. In 2019, I had my grand opening of Ghost Tours on Locust, which is what we named it for, Ghost Investigations, because it was so active in there. I just had to share it with everyone.
I find it interesting that you went into the building and you were like, we have to buy this. Did you feel drawn to it then?
Yeah, I was drawn to it even before I got there. I never saw it before. I don't know. It just drew me. I'm a psychic medium and highly sensitive, and I'm a beacon to spirits. And they flocked to me and I could feel it. They were very happy to finally have someone to talk to.
That's interesting to me. Mm-hmm. Because I could see a gift like that working in one of two ways. It could be terrifying, or it could be, you could be drawn to it. It's kind of one or the other.
Yeah, it depends on who's coming at me.
Right.
Because I have it here in my house too, so.
I think it would be hard, is it hard for someone like you to be in certain locations?
Yeah, it depends on the location. I could be driving down the street and say, oh, that place is so haunted. And I can actually see people walking through the house. And some of the houses that I come across that I've been in, it is very terrifying and dark. And now, knowing what I know, I don't choose to go in those houses.
Which I think is actually for you, that's a really good idea to not do it. Because it just seems like you're almost like a sponge to it.
Exactly. Yes. I attract everything, good and bad.
But in the Samuel Miller Mansion, you obviously feel positive connections with the spirits that are there.
Mostly. There are a couple men that don't like me at all because I tell their stories to people and they get mad at me. I've seen some of the stories firsthand. Like, I'll be shown the way that someone was killed. There were a few deaths in there. One known suicide and not documented suicide, I have to say.
But a lot of times back in the day, people didn't want that associated with their building.
Right. I just tell the stories that the spirits give me.
When you bought the building, because I tried to dive in and find out what I could about the building. And a lot of times with buildings that are that old, I live in Kansas, so we have very few that are from 1815 because we weren't even a state until 1865.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what I find so fascinating about Pennsylvania. I think the whole entire state's haunted. Yeah. But there's just so many locations, but there's so much history and very rich and dark and complicated history.
Yes, really.
So to me, a building built in 1804, I would think there would be a lot of documented history about it.
Nope.
So that's what do you think? Because, you know, most places have a historical society. What kind of digging did you do once you purchased the building?
When we got the building, the owner of the historical society in Columbia, he gave us information, and there's newspaper clippings and photos. We do have some old photos of the horse and carriage out front and the archways and the way it looked before, you know, in the early days. We really didn't find a whole lot more about the history. I was told by Sam Miller himself. Believe it or not, the building was actually built in 1795. That's undocumented, of course. And it was a silk mill, which was illegal back then. So that's not known to anyone but me.
That would not surprise me, actually, because that could have been there first, and then he decides to turn it into a house, took down, or maybe built around it, or tore it down completely.
Built the house down. It still has the original look to the original mansion. It was added on to probably two or three times.
So it's a pretty big space, isn't it? Then if you've got a printing shop in there.
Is. And when I first started there, I got lost. There's the dark area, which holds four rooms and an attic. And then there's a third floor that holds three rooms. That's up the spiral staircase, which, you know, people get lost in there because they don't know from looking from the outside how really big it is. And we do have in the basement, there's remnants of the Underground Railroad down there. So that's a hot spot there, too.
Now, when did you start doing the paranormal investigations in there?
That would have been probably 2018.
So for quite a while.
Yeah. I didn't do investigating myself. I had a few teams in until I started seeing the spirit stories in front of me and hearing them. They want their stories out. So that's why they come to me.
That also, to me, kind of gives me goosebumps because so many people, you know, something maybe traumatic happened to them and nobody knows that.
Yeah.
And how can you rest in peace if you can't settle this or if you can't get the word out about it?
Yeah. That's what I'm here for. And I love my spirits in there. I have a handful of regulars and I have hundreds of different spirits that come through that building every day.
From your perspective, because I've talked to places that also the same way, like they feel spirits kind of come and go. It's almost like a hotel.
Yeah.
And some of them are hotels, actually.
Right.
But with you and your abilities, it seems to me every time you walk in the building, you wouldn't really know what you're walking into.
Right. I just walk in and I don't expect anyone to come up to me. It's mostly during investigations that we, you know, different energies. There's sometimes groups of people, spirits that come in there that we have no idea what they're doing here. It's like Grand Central Station there. We're right by the water and the train tracks. A lot of energy from there with the Underground Railroad being right there too. It's like a hot spot for everyone to come to just to check us out.
Does your husband also have an interest in the paranormal or was he like, oh, Amy?
He probably thinks I'm crazy from stories that I've told him. But with the TV show happening there now, he's gotten more interest in it. But he kind of shied away from it for many years. So,
do you think part of that too, which I think is the case for a lot of people, the paranormal is unknown. And if you interact with it and if you acknowledge it, it makes it more real. And you really don't want it to be real because you don't know what it is. And
well,
so,
the opposite. I welcome it. I welcome way too many of them. So I think, a lot of people are afraid of it. I've been this way since I was 3 years old. So I'm used to it.
I want to talk about that. So when you're 3 years old and you're having experiences, because of your young age, you don't know if that's right, wrong, whatever. It's just happening. What happened to you at three?
I had a visitor when I was in my crib in my bedroom. And my sister slept in there too. And I had this black shadow coming towards me. And this one actually had white eyes, which it wasn't a shadow person. I don't know who it was. Shadow people don't have features. But it was coming at me and I was screaming my head off, being 3 years old in a crib. And crouching up in a corner of my crib, my mom finally came in and she said, Amy, would you shut the hell up and go back to bed? I was terrified. And it was very traumatic.
And there's not even words when you're three. Even if you were able to communicate what you saw, your mom would say, that's your imagination.
I think I blocked it out till I was 10 years old. I remembered everything. I told my mom about the layout of the bedroom. I remember my sister saying, it's okay, it's just mommy. And when I voiced this to my mom and sister, my sister said, yeah, I remember that. I hid under the covers. And my mom remembers it. And I certainly remembered it all.
And did
I was saying, someone's here, someone's here. I remember that.
Did you continue to have experiences like that too?
Not till I was 10.
And so then yeah. When you're 10, something else happened, which brought that memory back.
I don't know what that was, but ever since then, I've been on high anxiety and grinding my teeth since I was 10 years old. I don't know why, but I'm fine with everything now, even though I do go through very incredibly strange experiences that are out of this world and beyond. So, yeah, traumatic.
But I think for someone like you to be involved with a place like the Samuel Miller Mansion, like I said earlier, it's got to be, I would think, two things, exciting and then draining at the same time. Doesn't it kind of drain you sometimes?
It used to, yes. I remembered being like helped down the stairs because I was going to pass out. And I didn't realize at the time that the spirits were draining me of my energy. I'm much better with it now. I get virtually none of that. Sometimes they'll make me sick in the stomach or feel dizzy, but those are just the ones with a lot of energy. And other people there have experienced the same symptoms of that.
Yeah, I was watching a video where, I can't remember the name of the paranormal team, but there was a room upstairs they were going into and she started gagging. And she's like, I can't even walk in there.
Yeah, that would have been on the third floor. That's where I get sick and a lot of people do. It's just the energy in the room. You know, there was a woman killed up there. Her baby was killed and it's just the energy there. There's a mean man up there. He's not mean. He just doesn't like company. So he chooses to make people sick sometimes. Sometimes, depending on the energy.
And those two energies together in that room would be a lot because she would be just overwhelming sadness.
And people do cry in that room and they don't know why. So I make sure to tell them her story.
So when you first, and I do want to circle back to the TV show in a minute, but I'm still so fascinated with talking about you. When you first moved in there and you kind of start exploring the building, what were some of the things that you picked up on right away?
It's just that mostly it was the energy. Like, I wasn't able to communicate with them the way I can now. They were just checking me out, and I was checking them out. So the energy, like, I get full body tingles when I have a spirit beside me. I don't get the hot and cold things, feelings that most people do. I get the full body tingles all over. And I'm like, oh, someone's here. Or they'll pet my head, like they'll touch my hair and touch my shoulder and stuff like that. That's what I remember the most when I first started there.
And when you're there and they're sharing something with you, like you're getting information about one of the spirits, do you feel like there's quite a few that just stay there and don't move in and out like it's a hotel?
I really don't think they stay there because I've already three children from the mansion at my house sitting on my lap. And the one woman that was my first good experience, not good, but real eye-opening experience. This woman visits me wherever I am if I talk about her.
Oh, that's interesting.
I know that, I don't know how I know this, but I've already told them, you're not supposed to be up here. Go back down to where you're supposed to be and don't come up here again because they're antagonizing mean men who killed some people.
Is that something like you see as a vision? Their backstories?
I saw one of the murders through the victim's eyes.
Oh.
Her eye was bloodied out, so she couldn't see him. Therefore, I couldn't see what he looked like.
That has to be horrific to go through that experience.
I just remember I was only with one friend, and I put my hands up to my eyes after saying, I see blood everywhere. I put my hands up to my eyes, and she showed me her story from her eyes. It was horrible.
That isn't like you just go home and it's like, I think I'll go out and get me an iced tea. It's like that would be pretty traumatizing, I would think.
The good thing about that is she wanted me to know her story and to be able to tell it to everyone that I can. And it makes her happy. So that is comforting for both of us.
Did she know who killed her, you think?
Yes. She worked there. Most likely it was right before the toy factory started in 1920. They were plumbers. They were working on plumbing the basement after the feed mill was there. And she was, to my knowledge, and I've had other mediums there and said, no, she was this, and that's what. To my knowledge, she was like a gopher girl back in the day. She would go for coffee and lunch and, you know, whatever the command was from the men that were there working. There were two women with similar stories from there.
That's just so sad. And their stories would probably not ever really get out there because they weren't.
Yeah. And I have no idea. I know her. I know the names of the women, but you can't find anything about them anywhere. I know the names of the men, too. No information whatsoever on them.
Which you'd kind of like. Getting the validation, I guess, would be nice. You don't need it. But it would be nice to like go even more validating for the women to be like, here is proof of their story.
Yes, that would be wonderful.
Which is actually probably why they want it out even more so, because it never was publicized.
Right.
Oh, could you imagine?
Like, I know.
Just trying to get someone to hear you and acknowledge that you existed.
It would end up being just a missing persons report on, you know, whoever. Yeah, it's sad.
Now, what about the TV show that's coming in?
This show started in the UK, and it's called My Haunted Hotel. So they took it, they want to take it to other areas here in the US. The building is now called My Haunted Manor, which they're calling that for their TV show. It's going to be really exciting. It's, live, like there's no hoaxes or, you know, stuff like that. When things happen, it's caught on film. That's it. They'll film 24/7 for a year, starting March 1st.
Oh, they'll be in there for an entire year?
They're not there. They're going to be booking stays there for people. Like if a family wants to come in and investigate overnight or whatever, their entire visit will be filmed. So they can investigate with their own equipment and everything will be on film. So the directors will come in probably every weekend and go through the footage that was caught for that week. I think the first episode comes out March 1st, actually.
So people could actually join them in the mansion?
It's not them. They're not going to be there. There will be.
There's cameras are set up and rolling.
Yes, they're already, they've been rolling. Daryl Marston from Ghost Hunters, he actually, it's his project here in the U.S. And we got to meet the guys from the U.K. They came over. They said they've already got people that from the U.K. that want to book a night in Sam Miller Mansion. So it's really exciting.
That is very exciting. And it'll be fun to see what they capture.
Oh, I know. And for me, I think the most fun is going to be because, you know, I'm a crazy person, you know, that no one believes. No, I wouldn't say no one. There are a lot of believers, but my close knit, you know, they think I'm nuts.
Well, hey, we all are, really.
Yeah.
And to me, I've talked to several people, you know, a lot of investigators just like going to different places and seeing what they get. But to me, if you go to one place repeatedly and you really study that one location, I think scientifically and as investigators, I think it would be more credible evidence because you know, like that exact same thing happened to somebody else. And here's the proof. Look.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice that someone validates my stories.
Mm-hmm. Which has to feel good in a, in a weird way, now that I said that.
Well, I question myself occasionally and I'm like, did that really just happen? Did I see that? You know, but, and when someone else sees it or hears it, then I'm like, okay, so I wasn't going crazy.
Now you have teams, you've had people in and out of there for years now doing investigations. What are some of the teams that have come in that have shared some things with you that you really were surprised by?
I was really surprised to hear that stones were being thrown at people in the basement. That's never happened to me. The spirits there, the bad guys, they were actually throwing stones at people. They weren't provoking them, but it's kind of hard not to provoke the killers of these two women because they're so mean. You can feel the energy down there and it's really heavy and they make you feel that. They make you feel that way. Sometimes they're really angry that we're there.
When you look at the building, the video that you see, this looks like what would be in anyone's head about a haunted location. I mean, it looks like it has to be full of activity.
It is, definitely. We didn't do any renovations upstairs. It's all dusty and dirty because I can't clean it. It's big. It's a big place, but we didn't do any kind of work on any of the rooms except for the foyer and the parlor, which is our meeting room and where the main bathroom is.
And the rest of it, like there's, it looks like some precarious stairs and things.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be careful while you go through here.
Yes, absolutely. We have some rooms that are roped off as it's too hazardous for anyone to go back there. You know, we have fallen down plaster.
Right.
And two of the back rooms and stuff like that. So we make it safe for everyone to walk everywhere else. But
yeah, you just got to be careful. And there was one room, and I'm not sure where it was, but there was some, I don't know if there were letters written on the wall. There was handwriting on the wall.
Yeah.
What is that?
We're really proud of that. And when we found it, it's like, okay, we have to preserve this. So my husband got a piece of plexiglass in a frame and they're preserved on that wall. 1921, 1926, to 1945 and 1997. I don't know what that was for, but they called themselves the crew and they were army men. Now, from my experiences, they stayed there. I have an audio of a woman. Well, okay. First I hear her upstairs. I say, what are you doing upstairs? And then she says, hello, crew. Like she's talking to the crew. And on these letters on the wall, they sign it, the crew.
So why would they have written on the wall of all places? And what exactly does it say? Or not exactly, but in general.
Yeah. Some of them just say, oh, we clean the whole place. It smells like a honky shop. Army best branch in the USA. World War II is just over. And what they did that, you know, that day, you know, while they were there, it's just really cool. It's awesome to hear from someone back then.
And what I find particularly interesting, number one, they're writing on the wall, which you don't see that very often.
Yeah, a lot of people did that, but it's all covered up with wallpaper. So we just got lucky enough to be able to see this there.
And it was done over a number of different years. It wasn't at the same time the same group of people went in.
Right. Yeah. Different eras. And it's really, really cool.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation about the Samuel Miller Mansion. For more information about paranormal investigations and the new series on the mansion, search for Samuel Miller Mansion on Facebook. If you'd like to access all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, or you can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.